Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just making a note of something that I need to say today. You know, you're just praising the Lord and God will just drop something in your spirit. That's what the Spirit of God does, people. That's what the Spirit of God does. Let me tell you, we're not out here serving Him on our own. We're out here serving Him, but the Spirit of God is upon our lives and in our lives. And He's leading and guiding His people. Leading and guiding His people into the things that He desires and wants them to do. That's the Spirit of God. We're not just people that just go about doing our own thing. No. We're people called by God, led by the Spirit of God, to do the will of the Father. And no other will shall be done by His people except the will of the Father for each and every one of our lives. Every one of our lives. You know, when Jesus told the disciples, I want you to go to the other side. That means the other shore. You know, they were at one shore and He wanted them to go to the other side. We know when Jesus speaks, when He says something, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Scriptures or through His Spirit in us, when He speaks to us, we know that that is the perfect will of God at that time for us. Whatever may be happening, whatever circumstances, you know, but whatever Scripture God brings up in our hearts and it just resonates on the inside of us, there's something that happens. Or we get the Scripture and we're reading the Word of God and something just is illuminated. It seems like it jumps out of that page. That's the Spirit of God quickening your spirit, trying to tell you something, trying to encourage or help or give direction. As you see, there's no other will except the will of the Father. You know, I've heard preachers and people say things, well, you know, if you don't know the perfect will of God, it's okay to kind of lean on your own understanding. And I'm going, what? Our own understanding will get us in trouble. In deep trouble. We need the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and to have His will. And here, Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. We know when Jesus spoke that to the disciples, that they were to go to the other side and not walk, but get into that ship or get into that boat and go to the other side. We have to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit when He tells us something. The Holy Spirit is specific on things. We got to follow the specifics of the Holy Spirit. And they got in that boat. And the Father knows. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew the storms that would rise up. He knew what would come against them. And even when the Spirit of God speaks to us and we know that the storms will come, we know things will happen. But we always have to remember that our God will be with us even through the storms of life. Even through the tragedies. Even through the heartaches. You know, yesterday I was on my route and I knew one of my customers, I say customer, you know, I knew that they had lost their son. And I knew that was a few days ago, and I hadn't been able to talk to them. And just so happened, I put their mail, and their door was still closed. And I just said, well, you know, walking away, she opens the door to get her mail, and I was about, you know, 20 yards away. And so I turned around, and I said, ma'am, I said, I want to offer my condolences to you and your family, you and your husband, on the death of your son. All they had was two sons. One died about 10 years ago from a tragic accident, and this Now the other one, 48, 49 years of age, died, had a heart attack and died. And I said, you know, I know it has to be hard. I said, I've never been in that place to lose a child. But I said, it must be hard. And she said, it's so hard. And I said, you know, just keep your faith in Christ. And I pointed up, you know, keep your faith in Him. Keep your faith in Christ and what He did for you. She said, the only thing that's getting me through is prayer. And I said, I want to let you know that I'll be praying for you and your husband. And you know, she said, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. You know. Because you see, I always want to point people to Jesus. Because He's the only one that can bring help. See, we are agents. Not for the FBI. Well, they might have a few, I don't know. Never know. Could be many women. But we are agents for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
And look, if we don't declare who Jesus is, who will? If we don't declare that He can bring help and salvation, who will? If we don't declare that He can forgive sins, who will? If we don't declare that He can bring comfort to our hurting heart, who will? We are the agents of the Holy Spirit, our Father, His Son, Jesus. And we've got to declare who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and there's no one like Him. There's no one that compares to Him. We as agents of the King of Kings need to declare who Jesus is continuously and declare the power of our God that can change a life, that can comfort a soul, that can bring healing to a body, that can take depression away. My God, that can heal a body. That's the kind of God we serve, declaring who He is. And it says He told them, go in that, get in that boat. And they did what He said. And the storms of life, storms rose up, physical storms. And He came, and as they got kind of ruffled a little bit, He came in and stilled the storms. And they got to the other side. They got to the other side. As born-again Christians, people, God has destined for us, for His will to be done in our lives as Christians, as sons and daughters. God wants His will done in your life.
Amen.
God wants His will. God doesn't want my will. God doesn't want your will. You know, that's second hand to God. God wants His will to be done in your life. His will to be done. The Lord gives great latitude to believers, giving us the privilege of carrying out His will. Do you realize how privileged we are to carry out the will of the Father? You know, the other day, this week, had to go put gas in the mail truck, and so here I drive up to where I usually put gas, and there's a man putting gas next on the other side of the pump, and I knew him, and I said, oh, I hadn't seen him in a while, you know. So I got out, and I said, hey, how you doing? And so we started chit-chatting, and I said, how's things going? He said, oh, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. I guess he kind of took me off guard. I mean, I'm thinking, you're a Christian. You're Christ-like. I understand we go through storms, but even in the midst of the storm, God can open up the cloud and bring brightness in, and the sun can rain. You know, I'm mad at the state. They want this money, that money, and all the whole thing. And I said, well, I can understand. I said, you know, sometimes the things of life get rough, you know, and just complaining about all kinds of stuff. And as I'm speaking to him, the Spirit of God, because he was talking about money, how the state wanted this money because he let his insurance lapse on his vehicles by 2 days, and they wanted $125, $150, and all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, and as he's talking, the Spirit of God said, he doesn't tithe. Ooh. Ooh. And I said, well, okay, Lord. Can you imagine the Spirit of God told me something about this person that they don't know that I know now? But, you know, it's not that, you know, you bribe, you don't do that. You pray for them. That's the Spirit of God saying pray, because you have to understand. As I talked last week, when we don't tithe, God cannot stop the deceiver from taking what is rightfully God's or yours. He can't rebuke the deceiver from taking. He can't rebuke him. And so I said, oh, Lord, he doesn't. And so we talked a little bit, and I had to go. I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of time I just can't. And I said, Lord, bring him to a place where he gives back what is rightfully yours, so you can rebuke the devourer. See, that's the Spirit of God working and moving in each and every one of our hearts. And I'm sure you can tell me all kinds of things. See, we're here to fulfill the will of the Father. The will of the Father is for that man to tithe. Even though the world says it does not make sense, even though sometimes we think, honestly, it does not make sense, but the Word of God says to do it. And when the Word of God says to do it, it makes sense with who? God. And when it makes sense with God, he knows what we need to do to get the job done upon the earth. And I know many of you have been in places where stores and all kind of, and God has quickly, you just going about your business, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will put that person that's standing on the other side over there for you to go and just pray for them. Obey the Spirit of the Lord. You are an agent of the Holy Spirit. You are an agent of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let God use you. Let God speak to you. Let God move in your heart, because if you don't do it, who will? And so as you're going, you might say, but there's a tinging or something in your heart. You say, man, I got to go and speak to that person or lay hands on them or do something. Let the Spirit of God do what he needs to do. The Lord gives, and I said this before, great latitude to believers, giving us the privilege of carrying out his will, which at the same time means that if we do not function correctly, the will of God will not be carried out. That's kind of a sticky thing. You think, well, you know, God will do what he wants. If those men, those disciples, wouldn't have gotten that boat, they wouldn't have made it to the other side. See, we got to remember, we have to do what the Spirit of God says to do so that the will of the Father can be done in our hearts and in our lives. You see? When God speaks to you to just lay hands on and to pray, or to buy food for somebody to bring it to them, or to go and pay their electricity bill, and you don't want them to know, and you just do it because the Spirit of God, you're not moved by what a need is. Don't ever be moved by a need. Always be moved by the Spirit of God. Because there'll be many needs that we cannot meet. But don't be moved by a need. Be moved by what the Spirit of God says, because he knows what's behind that need. He knows what's behind it. You know. So we want the will of the Father to be done upon the earth. Many Christians think the Lord does not simply do things because he, in fact, is the Lord, has the power to do whatever he so desires. And I know the Lord has the power to do whatever he so desires, but he's looking to us, looking to his people, to fulfill his will upon the earth. I want you to turn to John 14:14. Very familiar scripture. John 14:14. We got to make sure that we rightly divide the word of truth. It says this: If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's a great scripture, and let me tell you, that's a great one. And the Bible says, if we shall ask anything in his name, we shall have it. But we got to make sure that what we're asking is the perfect will of the Father. Okay? We cannot ask for something and if it's not his will for us, that is contrary to his will. We got to make sure that we're asking according to his will. You might say, well, Lord, you might say, pray and say, Father, what is your will in this circumstance? And he will tell us what his will is. But, you know, just because it says we shall ask anything in his name, you know, and we shall ask it, if we ask for it, we shall have it. The scripture says we shall have it if it's according to his will. We got to make sure that everything is according to the will of the Father. So, you know, we know this. When we go to the Father every day, we pray for our families, for salvation. We know that's the will of God. We know that. We know without a shadow of a doubt that that's the will of the Father. We know when we're praying for healing for people's bodies, we know that's the will of God, for God to heal their bodies. You know, Jesus died on the cross. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we were healed, according to the scriptures. We know that is the will of the Father. John 15, verse 7 through 8. Look at that scriptures. Look at verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. So here we see, the scripture says, if we abide in him and my words abide in you, that's the word of God and him just speaking things to us, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If the word of God abides in us, we will not ask the Father for anything that we know is against his will. But if the word of God abides in us, as we go before him, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done. Because you see, the word of God is in us, and we are praying the exact will of the Father for our lives. Not my will, not your will, but his will be done in our lives. His will be done. Let's look at another scripture, Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew, Mark. Matthew 18, look at verse, starting with verse 18. It says, verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. God has given great power and great authority to the church. I think sometimes we don't realize the great power and the great authority that God has given us. The other two scriptures that I just read, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, we shall act with his will, and it shall be done. It shall be done. We have this scripture. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The great power and authority that God has given to the church. There's no other God like our God. There's no other power and presence like our God. That two people can come together and we can agree on something. And if it's according to God's will, it is done. It is done. There's no question in our minds. There's no question in our hearts. That as we pray and intercede and we agree together as men of God, that it is done by not so much by me, not by Otis, but by the Father in heaven. such great power, such great, thank you, such great responsibility that God has given to the church, that we can walk around as agents of the Spirit of God. And when we see something happening, that the Spirit of God can speak to us and tell us things and show us things and give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge. As I was at that time, that was a word of knowledge that God gave me for that person. I didn't feel free to share it with him, but I feel free to pray for him. Because you see, what I don't know is that he probably was a tyrant and he held him back now on his own free will because of things that are happening. And the devil is now onslaughting him. And he's going to take, and let me tell you, there's no end of his taking. There's no end. There's no end of the enemy stealing and taking back. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, y'all just want money? Let me tell you this. I work besides this. God has blessed this church beyond measure. It blows my mind sometimes how God has blessed this place. Because you know what? There's one thing. We tithe as a church. Ooh. We as a church tithe. It blows me away the money that comes in. It blows me away how God just brings things together. It blows me away. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. You know, that I don't have to get up here, and I'd never do it, but just to say, hey, beg for money. Never, I'd never do that. I would go without, definitely. But how God has blessed this place, because we tithe. I said, what do you mean? We tithe off of the money you give to another church. I said, what do you mean? Well, all the money that comes in, the first check that is written is the 10% of tithe that goes to the other church in tithing. So your money is blessed twice. You get blessed. You should have shouted. You get blessed because you give here, and you get blessed because we all give together to another place. Praise God. You are blessed. It's like the cup that overflows. My God, the cup that overflows. Praise God. God blocks the rebuke from the deceiver from taking what is rightfully not his. Now, you know, I understand things break at times. Yes. Things wear out. But he still can make things last long. He still can take your knowledge, stretch it out. He still can take the money we have and make it last like it's an amazing, at the end of the month, you have more money than what you ever thought. Because of the blessings and the presence and the power of God. His will being done. We can take that scripture, whatever two shall agree upon the earth, praise God. You and your wife, you and your spouse get together and pray. A cord that is doubled. It's hard to break. But a single cord usually can be broken. You and your spouse get together and pray together. Pray for those children. Rebuke the devil from taking your children and your grandchildren and your spouse or your family. Come against the enemy. He's the one we fight against. Not people. We fight against principalities and powers in high places. But I tell you what, as we come together again and we pray and the enemy's coming against, I can say, Father, move. Move upon my brother. Amen. Move upon my brother. Father, I come against the evil that the enemy's trying to do to him. In Jesus' name, I break its hold upon his life. And he can pray the same thing for me. You know what I'm saying? Because we're fighting together as an army of the living God. We want the perfect will of the Father for my life and for his life and for your life. We want the perfect will of God, not just the second-hand will of God, if you want to put it that way, which is not really the will of God. But the perfect will of God to be done in every one of our lives. That the power of God can move and we can agree together. The church is a living thing, organism, living. It's alive and well. God has said, go forth and take the land. That means just go forth and take people. Bring them into the kingdom of God. Go forth. That God has given us the power. Go forth and claim those things that are rightfully yours. And don't let the devil steal from you anymore. Amen. Don't let him take those things that God has promised you. Yes. Don't let him come upon you and knock you down and destroy your life and destroy your family and destroy your children. Don't let him do it. You rebuke him. You come against him. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall bind or loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Yes.
But we need to get together and pray and seek God and let him move upon this generation and move upon our lives. Hey, let me tell you, the devil will try to destroy you and do everything he can to you. Let me tell you, the enemy hates you. He can't stand you. He hates everything about you, and he can't stand the God in you. I'd say, is that true? That's true. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But let me tell you, God has come to give us life and to have it what more abundantly, abundantly in him. Abundance in Christ. That's what God has come to give us, an abundance in Christ. That we can move around and do the things of the Father that he wants us to do. That he's given us life, life, life. That we can have joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, you know, joy on the outside, but joy on the inside. My God! That we can have faith in our God, letting him move within our hearts and lives, and letting him move upon this generation. Take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Remember when the army went into Ziklag and destroyed David? Well, not David. David had left with his army, and they came in to Ziklag where David had camped out, and they took the women and the children and the boys and the girls and everything they had. And David came back with the army, and he looked, and everything was burnt. Everything was destroyed. Let me tell you, the men in that town wanted to kill David. He was on their hit list, buddy. And look, they wanted to destroy him because they went out to fight for him and came back to where their family was not anymore. And it's an amazing thing, just a point, that they didn't destroy him as far as killed him right there. But you see, God still had mercy. He made them just take him. And David found out where they were. And David said, we're going. Now, that was after a little while or so. After he was downtrodden for a little while, disheartened a little while, he said, look, let's go forth. And let me tell you, God said, go. And let me tell you, they went after, and David got back all the women and the children, the boys and the girls, and all the material blessings that God had given him. Let me tell you, the enemy comes in like a flood, but God says he puts up a standard and stops the enemy. Let me tell you, we need to get under the cover of the blood of Christ. And let him stop the enemy from destroying everyone in our families, destroying everyone in our homes, and destroying all the things that God has given us. We cannot lay down and die. We got to lay down, we got to stand up, and we got to stand up for the things of God. We got to stand up for the kingdom of God and let God move.
Amen. Yes.
Let God move, people. That comes with a humbleness of heart, declaring the promises of God, declaring his word, and getting with God and saying, Father, remember your word, Father. Remember your word, Father. Remember. Remember. Isaiah talks about telling God the promises that he has spoken to you. Remember your word, Father, what you spoke to me 10 years ago. Remember what you spoke to me a year ago, 5 months ago, yesterday. Lord God, I'm bringing it back to remembrance. Not that God has forgotten, But God is building our faith to believe that it will come about. The perfect will of the Father is what God wants for you and your family. The perfect will of God. Not just semi, but perfect. The believer is to seek for the will of God in all things. The believer, we are to seek God. And I know to seek God, you know, nowadays in the church is nothing. Seek God. You like to come to church on Sunday morning? You lucky you're going to make it into heaven. Listen. Let me tell you. The things of God are not to play around with. The things of God are holy and pure before me. In the Old Testament, not just anybody walked into the most holy of holies, but the priest once a year to bring the sacrifice. So the blood of bulls and goats could cover the sins of Israel for that year. We need to be a holy people before our God. And I understand some things happen. Maybe we do fall and maybe we do make mistakes. Let me tell you. But we have the ultimate sacrifice. His name is Jesus. Go to him and say, Father, forgive me and help me to stand strong and do your will. Luke 22. Perfect will of the Father. Luke 22. Look at verse 41, starting there with 41. It says, and he, talking about Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you will be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found him sleeping or sorrowing. And I'll just stop there. Here we see Jesus, and a great example of the will of the Father. Exact will of the Father. Even Jesus. You know, when Jesus left the throne, which he was seated on the right hand, he's on the right hand. When he left the throne and was born or conceived into Mary from the Holy Spirit. Remember, Mary gave nothing to Jesus. Joseph gave nothing to Jesus as far as conceiving him. It says the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. So there was no sin nature in him at all. And that's how we were supposed to be from the beginning of time. But because of certain things that happened in Adam and Eve's sin, we have the sin nature inside of us. We're born with it. That's why we don't have to teach children how to be bad. They're just bad. We don't have to teach them that. We have to teach them to be good. You know. It says that Jesus came down and was born, you know, and he died on the cross. And he knew that he would have to die, but at this point, it's getting close. He said, Father, this cup can pass for me. Please let it be. And that's just kind of my words. I read it to you. Let it pass, that cup. But Father, not my will, but thine be done. See, even Jesus knew the price that he would have to pay and how hard it would be. He surrendered his life like a lamb to the slaughter, it says. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. And here we see, we need the will of the Father. People continuously. We got to pray for the will of the Father in our lives. We should not think like, well, it's just going to come about. We need to pray, Father, your will be done. You know, that's just the Our Father prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Thine will be done. We need to pray for the will of the Father. Say, Lord, I want your will. I don't want to be sidetracked. I don't want to go to the left or to the right. I don't want to take a wrong turn. None of that. But Father, I want your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. And let me tell you, as you pray the will of the Father, God, the Holy Spirit will come in and start directing you. And you will know when you start to go to the left a little bit and it's not good. The Holy Spirit will quicken your spirit. And he will say, oh, no. No. Look, one time I went to this prayer thing. Prayer, bunch of pastors praying. It was National Day of Prayer where it was just pastors, I think it was. They had, I don't know how many of them. Bunch of them. And, you know, they started the stuff and people, whatever. And so everybody was kind of greeting one another. And I saw some pastors I knew and, you know, whatever. So, you know, I got up and I said, well, let me go talk to them. You know, I don't want to be snobbish, you know. Let me go talk to them. Let me go talk to them, you know. So I went out, you know, talked to them. Didn't know them that well, but just kind of, you know. And one of the lady pastors that was there, you know, she said, brother, look, one day I want you to come speak at our church. And I've often always said, Lord, if you open the door, I'll go in, no matter what. You know? That's just my personal thing, you know, whatever. And so, you know, she said, I want you to come and preach for me. And I said, well, okay. I said, she gave me her card and everything. And, you know, I just, okay, you know, that's fine. And she said, look, give me a call. We'll set it up. We'll have it all done. Okay. And so, you know, I got her card and I'm walking back to my seat. And before I go to sit down, I mean, literally, I'm in the air, about to sit down. There's a loud voice that, you know, like I heard it here, but it was coming from here. And it said, no! And I thought, oh. And so I sat down. And I don't know what they were praying. And the Spirit of God said, no. Do not enter that place. Took that cord, tore that thing up, and my found out stuff later on, and thank God. See, we gotta let the Spirit of God be the one that leads us and guides us, because He knows what's behind all the facade of things, all the outward appearance of things. All the things that look good and okay, and sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it is, but God knows, and we got to be willing to let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us. And I said, well, Joe, did you hear that audibly? I think I heard it audibly, but you know how God can make things happen? It's like my ears rang. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for leading and guiding me. Because you see, we need the will of the Father to be done. Just as Jesus needed the will of the Father, we need to pray the will of the Father. Don't just say, well, whatever happens, happens. No. We are a mighty army of God. We don't go by just whatever. We go by the Word of God. We go by the Spirit of God. We go by our God that's our leader. Father, lead me and guide me and help me. And to fulfill His will upon the earth for your life. Because we don't know what God has for us. We must make it clear to the Lord that we want nothing that is outside of His perfect will. Make it clear to Him. You might say, well, how do you make it clear? Say, Father, I don't want anything outside of your will for my life. See how simple that is? And I said, I never thought of that. Tell him. Then, if he doesn't want it, if he does, then we don't want it. If he wants it, then we want it. That's how it is. He expects us to recall the promises he has given to us and relate them back to him. You know, let me just say one more thing. I'm about to close. We need to pray the will of the Father. And we need to tell him, Lord, I want your will, not my will, no one else's will, not my spouse's will, not my children's will, but Father, your will be done. When we go to God and we say, Father, I want your perfect will, why do we pray sometimes, and I've been guilty of this too, at the end of our prayer we'll say something like, Father, if it be your will. Father, if it be your will. God says we're not to be double-minded at all in none of our ways. In James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, if you can bring that scripture up, God says that we're not to be double-minded. Don't you think that when you pray, Lord, I want your perfect will, he will let you know his perfect will? That we don't have to say, Father, if it is your will? That's double standards. And to be honest, I've said, Lord, forgive me. Because we are not to have a double standard of praying the will of the Father in our life. Father, if it be your will. No. God says, pray his perfect will, okay? Lord, I want your will. If I'm going in the direction that is not your will, you turn me, Lord. You speak to me. You show me, Father. I don't have to say, if it be your will. We don't have to say that. We are Christians. We are led by the Spirit of the living God. He is our God, our Lord, our Savior. Don't you think he'll let you know if you're going off course? He is your God. He's the one that lives in you. He's the one that's given you the breath of life. He's the one that has forgiven you of all of your sins. But let him act in faith, nothing waver. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I don't want to be unstable in any way. I want to be stable. So when we pray, we say, Lord, I want your perfect will for my life. Okay. Lord, if you want it, I want it. If you don't want it, I don't want it. And that's the end of the story. That is it. That's the dot at the end. There's no other sentence beyond that. And Father, from this day forward, if you see me going in a direction or doing something, you speak to me. You show me through the Word. You show me through Scripture. You show me through your Spirit. You lead me and you direct me and guide me. My people, it says in Scripture, are led by the Spirit of God that dwells in believers. We all want the will of the Father, perfect will of the Father, just like Jesus did. Not my will, but thine will be done. That's something we need to pray every day for our own personal lives, for our spouses, for our children. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And let me tell you, when we pray God's will, sometimes we may not want to do some things. But that's okay. He knows what is the perfect will for you. And he knows how we can touch people's lives. He knows how he can use us. How he can speak to us. And he's given us the power to pray and to seek him and to honor him and to see things happen upon this earth. We are a mighty kingdom. We are the most powerful kingdom in all the world. You know, you think of the most mighty armies on the earth. You know, they say America, Russia, you know, all these places have mighty weapons and all this. But they're saying America is still number one as far as with weaponry and the power that it has. And I'm glad, thank you, Lord, because it keeps everything in check. With the phrases that we have in the world today, huh? But let me tell you, the greatest army ever is the kingdom of God. And as we pray and seek God and do God's perfect will, it keeps the praises in order and in check. That means it keeps the demon spirits in check. Because you have a power, you have power and authority over all these things that try to destroy. Destroy families, destroy husbands, destroying wives, destroying children. You have the power. You have the authority. Not because of who you are, but because of the God that lives in you and the God that moves in you and the God that paid the price for us to have it, that died upon Calvary's cross. My God, the power in us that we can agree together. We can, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It's an amazing thing. It says you have to bind it on the earth first to be bound in the heavens. That's a lesson right there. Whatever you loose upon the earth will be loosed in the heavens by heaven. That's an important lesson for us as Christians. God's perfect will wants to be done for us. Let the Spirit of God move. Take the time to open up that scripture daily. Say, Lord, I don't understand the scripture. I don't understand it. Father, give me understanding. And then you go to God either before or after and you start praying. And say, Father, I come to you first. I just want to praise you. Thank you. That you are a mighty God. That you've done great and mighty wonders. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me direction and just loving you. And then you get into the other things that you need. And you say, Father, some part in that prayer time, you say, Father, I want your perfect will. Perfect will. Perfect. And Lord, whatever it takes, do it. And you leave it at that. And let me tell you, you leash out the Spirit of God from the heavens above. And they say, oh Lord, put your name in here, but they're looking for Joe. And they're saying, let's get this job done. And they're looking for you as you place your faith and trust in him. Have another 30 minutes? Okay, let's go. You say, oh Lord, that's enough. Praise God. I appreciate you guys. Would you please stand? Please stand. Praise God. Praise God. If every head would be bowed just for a minute, please. If you don't know Jesus, just look by. I want to give you a chance to know him, to receive him as your Lord and your Savior this morning. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to him this morning, would you please raise your hand or indicate to me so I'll know. Let's all pray this prayer together because I know we have people that are watching on Facebook and you never know. You never know. Amen. Amen. Let's all pray together. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to
forgive me
of all of my sins. And I receive you, as the Lord of my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead.
And
you're seated at the right hand of the Father.
And you're seated at the right hand.
I give you my heart.
I give you my
life.
Lead me and guide
me. And let your perfect will be done in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, and we love you. And we pray y'all have a great week.